Hi and welcome to Culture Unraveled, and in this podcast I particularly want to be looking into the movie The Power of the Dog. And here's a quick summary of it. The movie starts off with Phil and George, they're two brothers, and they're in the cattle business, and it starts out by showing that they seem to be doing very well for themselves, right? They're with a group of people and they have a whole pack of cattle that they are moving from one place to the other, and a lot of them, so you know that they are two very wealthy brothers. And one of the brothers, George, falls in love with an inn owner, and they show her right in the beginning. You know, she owns this inn with her son Peter, and she's a widow, and she's been a widow for a while. And George comes, he helps her out, falls in love with her, and then decides to marry her. Now here is where the conflict starts, where Phil, who's played by Benedict Cumberbatch, he cannot digest this fact. You know, he feels that Rose is in it to get the money, and so he's not able to accept this fact. You know, there's something that he is deeply wrestling with. He even his relationship with his brother is an affected one, and then this spills on much worse when it comes to Rose. There's a scene where they all enter into the inn, and then her son Peter has made flowers with pieces of paper, and you see Phil just taking that and burning it right in front of him, because he kind of disdains the whole feminine side of Peter, you know, because he embodies a very brute masculine trait. Now, Rose marries George, goes to George and Phil's house, and she understands that she is very unwelcome by Phil. And through the movie, what you see is Phil emotionally harassing her, you know, doing things in the house, nothing very physical, but emotionally abusing her, emotionally harassing her over and over again. Now, Peter, when he comes from boarding school, when he comes to the house, he immediately understands this whole situation, and he feels the need to protect his mother. So you see two dynamics here. Phil trying to protect his brother because he feels that George is blinded by his love for Rose, and that he believes that Rose is out there to get his money, and so he feels that he needs to protect George. Peter believes that he needs to, strongly believes that he needs to protect his mother from Phil. A number of themes that emerge from this movie. First is the self-destructive, self-destructive quality of masculine power, which Phil embodies. You know, ultimately he destroys himself throughout. You know, he alienates himself, he isolates himself, he can't get along with people. He wants to just always impose his strong brute force, and it's self-destructive. He's not able to come to terms with what has happened to him in the past, you know, and that's another very important theme in the movie. The whole thing of abuse, and especially the abuse that Phil goes through as a child. You know, they mention Bronco Henry a lot through the movie, though they never show him. You know, he is this mysterious figure in the background, but Phil grew up with Bronco Henry. You know, he's the one who showed him all the ropes. It becomes very clear, and this is what Peter uncovers, that there is a very unhealthy relationship between Bronco Henry and Phil, a lot of it sexually inclined, and that's why Phil does not answer some of the questions that Peter brings out, and also Peter finds some magazines that Bronco Henry has, which he's able to piece together and understand that they had a very unhealthy relationship with Bronco Henry and Phil. So the theme of abuse comes out very strongly as the reason that makes people what they are. But one of the most important themes that I believe that the movie brings out is the type of power play between Phil and Peter. Phil very clearly is very brute, very strong masculine power. Peter, on the other hand, is very calm, composed, and it's a very calculative type of power. and you see that methodical way in everything that he does. You know, there's very cute rabbit that he brings into the house, and then the next scene he's dissecting it, very cold, calculative about it. It doesn't bat an eyelid towards the whole emotions in that process. And so he imposes a very shrewd, calculative type of power. And so his desire to rescue his mother from that situation that she is in pushes him to make a move on Phil. So he gains Phil's trust. He acts like he tries to recreate the the experience that Bronco Henry and Phil has with him and with Peter and Phil. And finally, when the time comes, he gives him hide that is affected from a dead cow, and then finally Phil has anthrax, you know, and dies. What is interesting, what I particularly found interesting, is that this the title of the movie is taken from Psalm 22:20, where the psalmist is crying out to God to rescue him from his enemies. You know, and it's most probably a psalm of David, and it starts with David saying that he is forsaken. He feels forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he goes on to lay out his heart before God. He's crying out to God, asking God for deliverance. And we don't see God answering that deliverance right in this chapter. But in one sense, that is the story of the Bible. God rescuing, God delivering them. And God is a God of power. The nation of Israel and David knows that, that God can rescue. And so they cry out to God to rescue him. And Psalm 22:20 is where the theme for this movie, or the title for this movie, deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild ox. You know, it's a very poetic, very dramatic staging of crying out to God to rescue. But what is the type of rescuing that is happening? And that is what the Gospels talk about. That the way in which God rescues is not through any type of manipulative force. It is always sacrificial. And the power of sacrifice in the Bible has been put as the highest form of manifesting power. Like in this situation that Phil and Peter is in. Now Peter kind of overthrew the power that Phil had with his cold calculative power. But in one sense, it's the same thing in another form. It's still manipulative, it's still deceptive, and in the process, someone else has lost out. In this case, Peter, and George unknowingly has lost his brother. And so, there's a deep cost that is coming to it, and the cost is outside of Peter himself, towards those outside. And so, it is a new, it looks different, the type of power looks different. But ultimately, it's doing the same things, causing the same damage. But the type of power and the height of power that's epitomized in the Bible is the power of sacrificial love. That is the ultimate power that can rescue people. The answer to David's prayer, to answer to David crying out to God, is climaxed in the gospel account when Jesus dies on the cross. And he also has the same words of this chapter on his lips, you know, feeling forsaken by God that at that very moment in the cross, but understanding that this is part of a larger process, that this is part of a rescue mission of the world, a way of establishing God's loving self-sacrificial power in the world. It is not a power that is manipulative or deceitful, but it's the power of truth. And it's the power of love which is able to rescue and redeem.